Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Found Family. I'm really excited to have a special guest with me, Savannah. Today, we're going to be talking about gaining confidence despite anxiety. Savannah Shea Blake is a confidence coach and a birth doula at earthandwater.co, who helps women unleash their inner warrior goddesses through chakras and mindset so that they can conquer the battles of life, feel more supported in their ventures, and love who they are. I love that. Savannah, welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Gaining confidence. This is a really, really important topic. I am so excited to be sharing this with everyone. And to start us off, I would love to hear a little bit more about you, if you can just share with us a little bit more about yourself and your story.
Sure. Yeah. So I got into confidence coaching kind of by accident. I didn't talk for the first 23 years of my life, give or take, due to social anxiety and a lot of anxiety. If there's anxiety out there, I have had it. It started with social anxiety and then probably general anxiety too, and then went into trauma-based anxiety and then turned into postpartum anxiety. And so I just kind of tried them all out and didn't like the way any of them tasted and worked really hard on healing my own issues with all of that, because I didn't want to live my life like that. I had dreams, ambitions, things I wanted to do, and it wasn't getting accomplished with the bouts of anxiety that I had, because I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't make a phone call. I couldn't. There was about 6 years where I didn't even leave my house except for to go to work and come home. So, yeah, I just kind of started researching how to get past my own issues. I decided that a lot of people had these issues, and I really wanted to help them get through it the way I did, because once I was able to get over that threshold, the whole world opened up to me, and everything changed for the better. So that's what I'm doing now.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that with our listeners who are also living with anxiety, this is something that can really, you know, drive home like that sense of like overwhelming anxiety to the point where it impacts how you are in your social life, what, you know, even things that most people do day to day. When someone is living with anxiety, it just makes all of those seemingly easy, quote unquote, normal things like a challenge. Like I can personally relate, having had grown up with, you know, severe anxiety, panic attacks that definitely developed into social anxiety. And I don't think I realized at the time that it was social anxiety, but all I knew was that my anxiety was limiting me and prohibiting me from even doing things. Like one specific memory that I can recall is, you know, being invited by my friends in elementary school to join them in the school talent show. And because of having such social anxiety, I was terrified that I was going to throw up. I lived with emetophobia and just this crippling anxiety of like, I don't want to be embarrassed in front of people. I don't want, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to experience a panic attack in front of everyone. I didn't join them. And when they produced the tape back then with like the cassette, you know, for the VHSs, not the cassettes, the VHSs, I remember watching my friends when it came time to their turn. And like, I learned the dance and I was doing it behind, you know, behind the screen, feeling so sorry about myself that I didn't partake in that because I was so anxious. So, you know, that level of anxiety, you know, it is something that keeps us from living a social life.
For sure.
Yeah.
I repeated that exact same story time and time and time again as I was growing up, so I get it.
Mm-hmm. And were there certain things that triggered this social anxiety? Like, what was it like living with this social anxiety?
Well, as far as I know, I was born this way. I don't remember ever not being anxious.
Mm.
But I was bullied in elementary, middle, and high school, and then also outside of school as well. So that's probably where most of it stems from. But, yeah, my experience was pretty similar to yours in the sense that I wanted to, you know, I wanted to try out for some of the things like volleyball or cheerleading, but I couldn't let myself. And then my dad took me to a taekwondo class one time, and I'm really into martial arts and that sort of thing, like
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. And he took me to a taekwondo class, and I was mesmerized. I was so excited by it all. But at the end of the class, he asked me, "Do you want to do this?" And my social anxiety, because he asked me in front of the whole class instead of
mm-hmm.
asking me after we left, I just stood there, and he was like, "Do you want to go out there?" And I shook my head no.
Mm.
And that's been one of the biggest regrets of my life.
Oh. Yeah, I hear you. It's something that I can also kind of relate to in the sense that I feel as though I were born with anxiety, because for as long as I can remember, it was something that really was something that I struggled with too. And even, you know, being 4 years old in the hospital with my family as my mom was like giving birth to my brother, I remember that I had like a Twizzler and it made me feel sick. And I'm not sure if it was the first time that I experienced like a stomach ache and felt nauseous and was terrified of throwing up. But I remember even at 4 years old having like severe panic attacks. And that's just like not okay. Like for a 4 year old to be so crippled by anxiety, you know, I think that I've read stories and heard things about people experiencing panic attacks for the first time as an adult and, you know, not knowing what they were feeling or experiencing because it felt like they were having like a heart attack or something. And I don't want to say that it felt normal to me, but because I experienced them so often and they used to last for like 15 minutes, I didn't know any better. Like I didn't know what it was like to not have this level of anxiety. So yeah, I mean, there were a lot of things that I regretted not doing because of it. Did you also experience panic attacks or?
A little bit, but not a lot. I did land in, there was a time when I landed in the ER over a panic attack, but I didn't know it was a panic attack. And then there was a time that I had a panic attack, called my grandmother, and she insisted I go to the doctor. So she took me to, like, not the ER, but the like urgent care. My trauma-based anxiety that I had, I wrecked two vehicles in 2 days or 3 days. And so I would have panic attacks when I was driving.
Oh, wow. See, I don't remember if I had one while driving, but I'm sure it must have happened. Was it something that, like, do you remember what triggered that?
Well, I wrecked two vehicles in 3 days, so that's what triggered it.
Oh.
And then I never trusted myself driving again until, let's see, I was 17 when that happened, and I was probably 25, 26 before I was okay, before I felt no anxiety around driving.
Wow. And what helped you to feel that sense of confidence again?
Various things, mindset work, and just working through my traumas. And
affirmations. That helped a lot. Talking myself through it and then putting myself in that situation. Mm-hmm. And it was a slow process. It was a very slow process, but I just kept pushing myself past my boundaries, and it eventually completely went away.
Wow. And so kind of piggybacking on that thought, what is your advice for someone who is feeling stuck and living with social anxiety right now?
So there's a lot of things you can do. For one, just know that as long as there's things you haven't tried, there is hope. You don't just have to roll over and accept this as inevitable and forever something you're going to have to deal with. There was a point in time where I didn't think that anxiety was curable. I just accepted it about myself and learned to manage it and flow with it instead of against it, which is another thing that I highly recommend. Getting to know your anxiety and understanding that it's just a feeling and it can't hurt you, because struggling against it and fighting against it will make things worse most of the time, your attacks, instead of just like coming into yourself and slowing your breathing and focusing on relaxation techniques. It'll help ease it a lot. There's a lot of tricks and stuff you can do with it. It's minimalism helps. I practice minimalism, and you'd be amazed at how getting things out of your space actually clears space in your head and your mind and helps calm things down. It gives a more organized manner to life, which is another thing I recommend, is organizing. But it depends on your anxiety, to be honest, because there's tons of different kinds. There's allergy-based anxiety, and there's chemical-based anxiety, like toxins and whatnot. And then there's the social anxiety, the postpartum anxiety, the chemical imbalance, like hormone imbalance anxiety. There's so many different kinds. So we could go on forever and ever and ever about tips and tricks that can help you with your anxiety, but unless we know exactly what type of anxiety we're dealing with and what your specific triggers are and what caused it, then we're just kind of throwing spaghetti noodles at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, I hear you. I what you shared in terms of getting to know your anxiety, that is so powerful and so true. And for those who might be wondering, well, how do I identify it? Are there any like suggestions or things that worked for you that you think might help others kind of identify where their anxiety is coming from, or like what some of their triggers might be?
Sure. Yeah. You want to start by thinking back to when the first time you remember it, remember having it, and then just making associations with, okay, every time I get in a vehicle, that's when my anxiety starts, or every time I'm around more than one person at a time, my anxiety starts. Anytime I have a lot of stuff on my to-do list, a lot of stuff on my calendar, that's when my anxiety starts. So just paying attention and being mindful to pinpoint exactly what's going on every time your anxiety pops up. And if you need to, keep a journal, keep an anxiety journal. Get you a pretty notebook with some pretty pens, and every time you have an anxiety attack or you feel anxiety coming on, just start taking note of what's going on in your life right now. For a long time, I couldn't tell you what was causing my anxiety. It was just anxious feelings, and it wasn't tied to anything that I could pinpoint. And a few months back, probably 6 to 8 months now ago, I started breaking out with eczema from head to toe. And I found a doctor who put me on an elimination diet. So we took out like 15 different things from my diet and slowly one by one added them all back and found out I was allergic to soy. I had known I was allergic to soy my whole life, but it had never caused any problems that I could pinpoint until now, right? Well, I cut out the soy from my diet completely, and within 2 or 3 weeks, my anxiety was 95% gone.
Wow.
Yep, so that's what was causing that. So if you can't pinpoint what is causing your anxiety and what's triggering it, start looking at the diet, the things that you're around, the chemicals that you're using in your home, that kind of stuff.
What great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I have to say, when you started talking about the journaling, I know you can't see me, and no one listening can see me right now, but I was smiling from ear to ear because that is something that I have also found to be so healing in identifying the triggers, because even like the Notes app in your phone, I have like a segment on Found Family called Notes to Self, and I started writing notes to myself on my phone back since 2016, and every year prior to that, it was always journaling, especially during, you know, rough years, having been bullied and things like that in middle school and high school as well. So I became much more aware of my surroundings, what triggered me, what made me feel anxious, things like that. So I definitely agree with you. And I'm so happy that you brought up even the, you know, things that we're using, products, things we're putting into our bodies. In a very similar way, I'm lactose intolerant and just recently found out that I have a very, I'm very sensitive to gluten. And if it wasn't for my former roommate who happens to have celiac, who commented once, you know, do you think that it might be the gluten that is like upsetting your stomach? I would have never even thought to go check that out. But when I stopped having dairy, that solved a lot. And I have to say that helped a lot with my emetophobia, because I didn't feel like my panic triggered when my stomach was hurting. So most of the foods that I was eating, being 100% Italian, was like bread and dairy. And yeah, it was like destroying my stomach without me even knowing it. And so to be aware of these things and go and see like a professional and, you know, or a doctor or someone who can help bring those to your attention and help you either eliminate things, cut back things, or whatever, in the same way that they did for you, that is such a beautiful like self-awareness exercise, and something that, you know, will help in all aspects of life. So that's really great. And as a piggyback question, because I was going to talk about, you know, recovery, and I know that from what you were sharing at the beginning of our soul chat is that, you know, when you're in the midst of either a panic attack or anxiety, recovery seems impossible. And for those who are listening right now who, you know, they're hearing us, they get it, but they're still not really sure if recovery is possible for them, what would be something that you would want them to know?
I didn't think it was possible for me either. I had, you know, I was 28 years old, and I've had it for 28 years as far as I knew. So I had accepted that it was never going to be better for me, you know, and I did all the things. I ate a proper diet, and I exercised regularly, and I did the crystals and the energy healing and aligned my chakras and meditated and journaled and organized, and like I did it all. I did everything that I could find on the internet to ease it. And the most I could come up with was learning how to live in spite of it.
Mm.
So, and it's not gone now at all, but mainly because I can't get away from soy. I know there's hope now, because I actually have days where I'm not anxious anymore, instead of it being an everyday all the time thing. So there is hope. Never give up hope, because to reach a place where you're better, you have to first believe that you can find it.
I absolutely could not agree more. I have to say I'm reading a book by Tony Robbins that's called Awaken the Giant Within. And he goes into very specific details about belief systems. And basically the takeaway is that, you know, we actually start creating like belief systems, even about things that are not even real, like things that we've imagined in our heads. And if we believe something to be true, it really is true. And I think that that sometimes is almost like, you know, all those sayings, you know, like there's no I in team and all these things that unfortunately I think are so overused that they become a bit of a cliche. So things about, you know, belief systems and mentality and mindset and things like that, I think sometimes there is a little bit of either like a stigma or like not necessarily holding that much like value to it. But when you dig deeper and do research and like find out how the brain works and, you know, our nervous system and what mindset shifting can do, I 100% agree with you. It does start in the mind. And even with exercising, like I started gaining a lot of weight after college, probably put on like 25 pounds. I'm 4'11", so, you know, everything counts. But with me, you know, I had gotten to a point where I was like, it was making me very anxious and it was hindering me from doing certain things. And I had to first get to a place where I made a decision that I needed to do something to be a healthier version of myself. I wanted more energy back. I wanted to take better care of myself so that I would, you know, will be healthy long term. And I noticed how going on like a fitness journey really helped me change my mindset because it started mind first. And that's like what I was, you know, sharing with friends who were like, well, yeah, how do you do it? How do you stick to it? How did you, you know, get yourself back into shape? And I'm like, you have to dive in mind first. That yes. is like so, so, so important.
And that's the key in everything that you want in life and everything, all of your dreams, your goals, all of it.
Absolutely. And so with your life coaching business, was there a specific moment in time or an event that helped you realize that you wanted to become a confidence coach, or did it happen more organically?
It's been a ride. It's been a ride trying to figure out your niche. Oh my gosh. And it always comes back to working on yourself and knowing who you are as an individual. Because no matter what niche you're going into, your ideal client, which is something that you really have to figure out if you're going to do things, if you're going to be successful, is generally a prior version of yourself.
Wow.
And I found this coach, this business coach online, Louisa Zhao, I believe is her name. And she had this 5-day intensive free challenge in her Facebook group that helps you get everything like clarified and figure out your story and yada yada, all of that. And when I was trying to figure out my story, I came to the conclusion that that was probably the biggest underlying factor in my entire life, was the fact that I didn't talk for so long and that anxiety completely ruled me. And once I figured that out, it just kind of flowed from there. It clicked, and I was like, wow, I feel like a complete idiot. Why have I not been doing this the whole time?
Aw.
Yeah.
And what continues to help you gain confidence? Like even in, and I'm just thinking now from the mindset of someone who might be listening who has really great days and then days that are just not that easy, or it's harder to get out of bed, or it's harder to get something done on your to-do list, or whatever that is. What helps you to continue gaining confidence?
So there's a couple things. For one, my goals and my ambitions and where I'm trying to get in life really help me. You have to be able to get anywhere, to be able to accomplish any goal, you have to be very specific in knowing what that goal is. And that's where a lot of us fall short, is because we don't know what we want. We can tell you all day what we don't want. You know, if you've ever had a conversation with somebody about what's for dinner, trying to figure out what's for dinner, you know, we don't know what we want, but we know what we don't want.
So
and,
true.
So being clear on what you actually want, and then being practical in taking the steps to get you there. That's one thing. And just Nike's logo, just do it. That's always been a big a big thing in my life. And then also something that I had just a second ago while I was talking and cannot remember. That too.
I'm sure it'll come back. You have so many like mic drop comments and like just pieces of like golden information. So I'm sure it'll come back. And if I'm saying something that like helps you remember it, or if you say something that helps you remember it, just shout it out and we'll ride on that.
Sure.
But I completely agree in terms of like having clarity, because goal setting also becomes easier. As you said, like there are so many things that once we go inward and learn what we do like, then it does make things easier. And of course, you know, it is easier said than done to kind of go through that. One exercise that I did with myself, which I found to be very helpful to help give me like a confidence boost. In August, I got let go from my job. And truthfully, that whole week I was in like a state of depression, not because I didn't want to, you know, I was upset about the job, because to be honest, I was going to leave anyway, because I just, you know, it wasn't something that I saw myself doing long term. And it was something that I was doing for the time being. But I was depressed and anxious more so because I thought, what's next? I don't know what I want to do. I've known that I want to do life coaching, you know, since I was 18. I knew that I wanted to, you know, help share people's stories on a platform, like all the things that I'm doing right now on a subconscious level, on a spiritual level, I knew I wanted them. I just didn't know how to, as you said, like find my niche. You know, it is challenging to have that answer like in a, you know, a day's worth of time, or even like a week. Like it does take time. But one thing that helped me boost confidence in my moment of depression was, what skills do I have that are proven to be strengths of mine? You know, like I'm personable. I am excellent with working with candidates. I've been a recruiter for the last 4.5 years. So I remembered what it felt like to be a recruiter and to help people find jobs. And, you know, I was making a list of all the things that, you know, I knew with absolute clarity and certainty that were strengths of mine. And I have to say, it was through that exercise, as simple as it might sound, it gave me so much confidence that I started this podcast a week later. And a week or two after that, I registered to become a life coach. 2 weeks after that, you know, I started changing my Twitter with, you know, helping spread mental health awareness and talking about my personal experiences. And here we are, you know, it's December. And, you know, I'm blown away that one, again, like mindset shift that I decided to make a change and focus on things that I knew I was good at and things that made me happy. It did help me narrow things down.
Yeah. Another thing is that I realized that nobody likes to speak in front of people, and nobody likes to do videos, and nobody likes to, you know, put themselves out there. And like you were saying with the making a list of all of the things you have to offer, I knew that I had a lot of knowledge to share about the world.
Mm-hmm.
Since I didn't have a social life my whole life, I had my nose in books the whole time. So I know a lot, and then I felt like this knowledge needed to get out there, and I needed to help people with it. So it just came down to a nobody wants to do it, but somebody's got to do it, so I guess I'll just do it.
That's awesome. And did you feel like a sense of peace and happiness? Like what feeling was there that resonated within you when you were like, okay, this is what I'm going to do?
Terror. No, I've never been able to talk in front of people, or, you know, I had to do a presentation in history class one time and I almost passed out. I was standing at the podium and I got tunnel vision, and I was in a cold sweat and I was shaking and I was literally holding on to the podium so that I wouldn't fall over.
Mm.
And So getting in front of people and doing these videos that I do and the podcast that I do, it's people have no idea how crazy of a transformation it is for me.
Wow. Well, we're all so grateful for the lessons that you are sharing with us and for sharing your story, and to have you here is even more of an honor. So again, I'm so grateful that you were able to be your own hero and in turn really spread all of your knowledge and good vibes with all of us. And that is a message of hope in and of itself, as exactly as you shared, and to empower our listeners to also take this message of hope and understand and know with certainty that recovery is possible, even if it's not in a day or a week or a month's time. And it is something that, you know, being able to gain confidence despite anxiety, which again is the whole topic of what we're talking about, once we are able to push through that, even in the terror and the discomfort, knowing that we are supported and that the message that we have to share to the world is unique and special and needs to be heard. You know, I think it's so beautiful the way that you phrased it, that you were like, I have all this knowledge and I need to share it with people. You know, someone listening right now might also kind of have this like inner flame or this itch to do it, might be too like afraid to speak out and do something. So just do it. I agree that Vera Didis, like that's something that has resonated with me over the years. And I've been telling myself that a lot too. Just do it. Just do the damn thing.
Getting started is the hardest part of anything.
It's so true. And so what is your relationship like with confidence now?
I do pretty well now. I tell myself that, once again, it's all mindset work. It's not that I just automatically feel confident when I leave the house. I know there's this girl I went to school. We're not girls anymore. There's this lady I went to school with, this woman. And she posted a picture of herself one day on Facebook, and she had this bright red lipstick on. She was all made up like a pinup girl, and I loved it. And I told her, I said, I wish I had the confidence to wear lipstick that bright. It looks beautiful on you. And her reply was, anybody can wear it. Just put it on.
Wow.
Like, wow. Yeah. yeah, you don't know me, obviously, and you don't know how it's not that simple. And I kind of took that, and I think about it all the time. And this was years ago that we had this little meeting on Facebook. And so now I often don't leave the house unless there's something flashy-ish going on with me. Like either I have to put on the bright lipstick or I have to put on the high heels or something. Like something has to be standout-ish. And I tell myself it's because, you know, people think because I'm a confidence coach, I have all the confidence in the world, and that's not true at all. You teach that which you need the most.
Mm.
So I'm being an example that, especially for those who have known me my whole life, if I can find my confidence in this world, then I promise you, you can too, no matter what you're dealing with.
Wow. That little comment that, you know, that she made, there is so much like of a punch in it. And I think the way that you just shared it can help alleviate anxiety, because it's like, and this is just how I interpreted it just now, but it's like you now, as you leave the house, like you said, it's like you're focusing on one thing at a time. And so even if right now we have like a little confidence challenge that we can throw down to our listeners, like maybe we can make this like a thing on Twitter or something, but like,
yeah,
have it be like a one week. Like, it's not like we're saying you got to, you know, be stressed out and think about it. You got to do this the rest of your life. It's like, let's take it one day at a time or one week at a time and just have like one thing that you otherwise would have been afraid to say to someone or to wear out or something. And just pick one thing and like totally wear it, say it, whatever, that one day and own it, and then do it again and do it again for 1 week, and then like report back. Like maybe we should do it as like a challenge or something. Just, I don't know why, but this was something that like is like really resonating with me. And I feel like just the way you just shared that is like giving me this like throw down a challenge kind of like mindset. So I don't know if that's something that like we should do, but
I would definitely love to.
I think that would be really beautiful. Like I really want to encourage and challenge us to go out and do this and like put this into practice, because I think that in the same way that, you know, if you go to a talk or a seminar or like something where people, you know, there's like a speaker who just gets you so pumped and you leave there and you're like on fire and you're like, I could run a marathon, my life is awesome, everything is great. Unless there's like an accountability or like an action that happens after that event, typically we kind of lose steam. So I want like some type of action to happen after this episode to keep the momentum. And I think that would be like a really awesome thing.
I'm here. I'm game.
Okay, cool. Because I love the way you just shared that. Like you said it so beautifully, and it really is like, you know, again, as we're hearing these kinds of like, well, just put the lipstick on. It's like, well, it's not always the easiest thing to just put it on. But I think that having you as like a Rudolph, you know, like leading the sleigh, like we're going into the holidays, and it's just like having the mindset of, you know what, I can relate to, who also has lived with, you know, social anxiety. If they can do it, there is hope, you know. And I think that that's something that has helped me too, is connecting with people who have gone through similar things and knowing that I'm not alone, and knowing that if it was possible for someone else, it is possible because it's been done. So I think that is like amazing.
Yes. Getting in the room with people who suffer from anxiety like you do is game changing, because nobody understands unless you're dealing with it. You know, mm-hmm. When I first got diagnosed with anxiety, the person in the room with me goes, "Really, Savannah? What do you have to be stressed out about?"
Well,
she went on to list all of the things that were going good in my life and going great. And I was like, and of course, like, I agreed with her. So I just cried. I'm like, I don't know why I'm so stressed out and anxious. But it's not like that at all. It's not always something that we can control, and it's not always a result of overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who, we run a support group locally for mothers with anxiety, because postpartum anxiety is a very real thing, but nobody talks about it, nobody treats it, because nobody knows it's a thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother topic that we could go on for ages, so I'll just leave it at that.
Well, you're always welcome. Yeah, you know, I would love to have you again if that's something that you feel like you're being led to share. I have to say, my boyfriend has two friends who just recently had babies, and although I'm nowhere near like even the thought of having one, I know from hearing their stories that it is a real thing, and I learned so much about what they're going through right now. They have like 2-month-old babies or something, and I know that a talk like that would help them, because they also shared with me a similar thing. Like, no one tells you these things, you know, like you just kind of have to, well, you're a mom now, so like go out there and just, you'll be fine. And it's like, no, your hormones are getting out of whack. Like, I mean, there are stories that I could contribute from their perspective, but I would almost love to even have that, because I think that that's something that people like really need to hear. And although I personally wouldn't be able to like relate to that, I'm feeling like that needs to be talked about.
Definitely.
That's awesome. And what else has shifted in your life? Feeling
everything.
You know, more confidence.
Absolutely everything. I have people in real life come up to me and they're like, "What did you do?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" They're like, you're a completely different person. I don't understand. And I was like, well, I can't tell you what I did in, you know, this 10-minute meeting. Like, it's been basically a lifetime of learning that has shifted for me. And But, you know, like the fact that I'm on this podcast now is exactly what has shifted in my life, because beforehand I would have never done a video or a podcast, or I didn't, when I first, okay, just to let you know what I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
Social media for me used to be terrifying, in the sense of I wouldn't even like somebody's post on Facebook, because simply liking it would alert them to my existence. Because if they're alerted to my existence, like, oh my God, what are they thinking about me because I liked their post?
Mm. Yeah, I hear you. I can understand how that is scary, because it's almost easier to stay invisible, and it's easier to not engage, because then it's like a protecting, like a you know, like a self-protecting mechanism of, well, if I don't engage with anyone, if I don't, as you said, like even go as far as like liking something, no one will know that I'm looking at their stuff. And so it's kind of like you're observing them, but they don't even know who it is that's observing them, because they won't look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally hear you. And again, what a beautiful story and transformation to be here and share this. And again, I'm super excited for everyone to be listening to this. And as we're coming to a close, as the mission of this podcast is to share stories of resilience and overcoming, and to, again, share the comfort and the truth that people are not alone, no matter what it is that they are going through, how can our listeners gain confidence despite living with their anxiety?
Pretty much just all the points we've covered in the talk. There's 100 different things. Build your support system. That's something. And you need somebody to talk to, because if you're sitting in the shadows, feeling sorry for yourself because nobody cares, you have to make a point to get out there and find somebody, anybody that you can connect with who does. You know, join Facebook groups. Look up mental health on Twitter. There's a big community out there who are supportive and helpful, and they will be more than happy to welcome you into their circle.
Absolutely. That is, like, I don't even want to add anything, because that right there spoke volumes, and it's like a very short, sweet, and to the point, like, action item that, you know, to join some type of community and or speak to someone who you know, can understand and relate and be there to help you. I completely agree. And then we'll talk about the the, like, throw down challenge of the confidence challenge, because I think that would be like a really great next step for our listeners. So we'll I'll have all the information in the description of this podcast. And to our listeners, Sam, please go and show Savannah all of your love and support. Follow her on Twitter. I'm going to share the link to her website, which again is earthandwater.co. And Savannah, are there any other places that we can go and find you and go like your things and make ourselves known to you?
I'm everywhere. I am on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, those, Pinterest. Those are the main ones. I'm most active on those three, Twitter and Instagram, which is @earthand_water on both. And then you can find my Facebook page, which will lead you to my Facebook group at Earth and Water Confidence. So it's like facebook.com/earthandwaterconfidence.
Perfect. Great. And all the links are in the description, so go check those out. Savannah, thank you so much again. This has been absolutely beautiful, and I'm feeling like I can go and take over the world now. It's like this little boost of confidence. So thank you so much.
That's great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family, or if you share on social, be sure to tag me at Coach Lizzie.